Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Don't you just love the voices of those children? Ladies and gentlemen, you've got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. Yes, I'm coming straight from my living room, and I'd like to welcome you to a season presentation for Kwanzaa. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have a new episode going on, and we're talking about the special holiday session for Kwanzaa and the children, ladies and gentlemen. We started part one yesterday. Today is part two, and you don't want to miss it. So invite your children in and come around the table and sit down. We would like to welcome you to our holiday special, Kwanzaa. By joining me, we'll be discussing the topic of the conscious-based education and mindfulness. And are girls different from boys? And should third-party world countries be educating their girls? If so, can the country benefit from the girls attending school economically? Now, why don't you join me, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about the Nguza Saba. Can you say that? N-G-U-Z-O. Nguza Saba, S-A-B-A. Nguza Saba stands for the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And you'll be joining me and the tribe as we talk about the seven principles of Kwanzaa today. We're also going to be featuring Steve Cobb's music and Chevoka, the performing artists who I play their music throughout the year, will be celebrating their acclaimed recording of the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to see if I can get those guys in here in a minute and see if they can come and help me out. Because we do have a tribe, and in order to get things done, we've got to act as if we know what we're doing, because we need to have a drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now featuring the special holiday season for Kwanzaa and Kwanzaa. Thank you for joining us this evening. You're in for a treat because we'll be reading our traditional African stories once again. We talked about yesterday and how joy comes from America and Santa comes from Africa. Today, as soon as I jump over from the room, I'm ready to get back and teach you in the air. Thank you so much. You guys are so sweet sometimes. Thank you for that drum roll. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our special feature, Kwanzaa Holiday for the Children. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right into our story. And we're also going to acknowledge lighting a candle. Today we light the candle of, we lit the candle of Kuzi Chagulia. We're going to light the candle of Kuwamba creativity today, and we light this candle so that you might be able to demonstrate your creativity, your ability to create, to be able to design and bring something out of nothing, your gift, creativity, Kuumba. We light the candle of Kwanzaa. The seven principles of the Nguza Saba, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be reading from American Folk Tales for Young Readers. And this is by the American Storytelling from the August House, ladies and gentlemen. This story is called Mr. Frog Rides Mr. Elephant. retold from folklore from inspired by the stories of Tyrone Wilkerson. This is a story from the people of Angola. Can you say that, boys and girls? Angola. That is where Queen Nzinga was from, Angola. It became because Mr. Rabbit fooled Mr. Fox, or Brother Rabbit tricked Brother Fox on the American South. These are about tricksters. Let's get into the story, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls. Sitting along the riverbank, the frogs were talking. Mr. Frog began to brag about how important he was. Hippopotamus is my personal servant. He claimed Lane, and Mr. Elephant is my personal riding mount. All the little frogs laughed and showed that they didn't believe Mr. Frog at all. Mrs. Frog, who had no husband, seemed impressed, and she said, "You may come to call at my house tomorrow, Mr. Frog. I hope you will come riding your personal riding mount." Mr. Frog realized he had bragged away too much, and he swallowed, yes, real hard, kind of gulped like that. Then Mrs. Frog hopped home, and the little frog who had been listening laughed. He doesn't have a mount frog. He has no frog to help him at all, no elephant. He laughed again and hopped away. The frog wondered how he would impress Mrs. Frog, whom he wanted to marry. Gulping, he said, how would he make her impress? The next morning, Mr. Elephant came to the riverbank to get a drink, and the little frog started laughing. He kept laughing at him. "What are you laughing at, Frog?" said Mr. Elephant sternly. "Mr. Frog said you were his personal riding mount, and said this little frog, this is what he said, you're his personal riding mount." He told it to Mrs. Frog. Mr. Elephant twitched his tail a bit and flapped his big ears a little. He did it again and again, and he asked, Did he really tell her that?" peeped the little frog. "Yes, he did. He told her that." "I'll teach him to mock me," said Mr. Elephant, turning and walking down the bank, swinging his trunk. Mr. Frog saw Mr. Elephant coming and was afraid and gulped. He said, "Quickly!" Mr. Frog flopped over on his back like he was dead, making himself pretending to be dead. Mr. Elephant came riding up to him and bumped him with his trunk. Boop. "Get up, Mr. Frog," said Mr. Elephant. "I can't, Mr. Elephant," said Mr. Frog. "I'm much too sick down here. I ate a bug that poisoned me. I'm dying." "Get up, Mr. Frog," said Mr. Elephant. "We're going to Mrs. Frog's house, and you're going to set the record straight, all right?" "I'm too sick. I'm dying. I told you I'm dying. Don't make me go. Please don't make me go, Mr. Elephant." "Get up, Mr. Frog, and I'll go set the record straight before you die." "I'm too sick. I told you I can't help. I'm too sick." "I'll carry you," said Mr. Elephant. "I'll carry you on my back." "You'll hop and carry me? You'll drop me? I know you'll drop me, won't you?" said Mr. Frog. "I couldn't go unless I rode up on your neck." "Let me ride up on your neck, Mr. Elephant." "I'll pick you up and put you on my neck, all right?" said Mr. Elephant impatiently. "I'll put you on my neck." "I'm too sick. I'll fall off," said Mr. Frog. "I couldn't ride without a falling off and riding seat. I need a riding seat like a camel seat. You know, the one that they put on a camel. I need to wear that," said Mr. Frog. still lying on his back pretending to be sick. "I'll make a holler," said Mr. Elephant, and he went to the bush and pulled down a vine with a gourd on it. He hit the gourd against the trunk of a tree, and his own trunk he hit. The gourd broke in half and looked like a hollow. Mr. Elephant plodded back to the riverbank and tossed his trunk up and down the vine over his neck. Mr. Frog got up very feebly and tied the vine under Mr. Elephant's wrinkled chin. Then Mr. Elephant lifted Mr. Frog on his trunk and set him on his neck. Mr. Frog hopped merrily into half gorge, half hollow, and set up like a prince on the back of Mr. Elephant. Mr. Elephant lunged along riverbank until he came to Mrs. Frog's house. Mrs. Frog looked out and saw Mr. Frog riding high and proud in half a gorge hollow. She was very impressed. "Hold it! It's Mr. Elephant!" called Mr. Frog to his riding mount. "Mr. Elephant, stop! Let me down!" called Mr. Frog. Mr. Elephant lifted Mrs. Frog out of the half gorge and hollow and lowered him to the ground. Mr. Frog hopped over to Mrs. Frog's house. Mr. Elephant stood outside, swaying from one side to the other. Instead, Mr. Frog explained to Mrs. Frog that, indeed, he was a very prominent member of the riverbank community and that, indeed, Mr. Elephant was his personal riding mount. Then he asked Mr. Frog to become his bride. She agreed to become his bride. Mr. Frog said he would go home and return the following day. He hopped back out and called up Mr. Elephant. "Mr. Elephant!" lift him up into half a gorge, halfway up on his neck, and turned and walked slowly back along the riverbank. Mr. Frog turned in and waved to Mrs. Frog, who was watching him go down the street with a deep admiration. Back at home, Mr. Frog called to be put down. "I told Mrs. Frog all about you and me. I set the record straight," he said as he hopped off Mr. Elephant's trunk. Mr. Elephant took his vine in his trunk and yanked it off and threw it in the river. "I'll just go inside now," he said. Mr. Elephant said, "Mr. Frog, goodbye. I hope you learned your lesson," Mr. Elephant, with a snort. Then he raised his trunk and trumpeted. He trumpeted off into the bushes, and he went running off down the road. Mr. Frog took all his belongings and buried them in his house and walked off for the village of Mrs. Frog's family, singing as he went, "I fooled Mr. Elephant, I fooled Mr. Elephant, I fooled him, yes I did. I fooled Mr. Elephant, I fooled him, yes I did." Mrs. Frog smiled as if she had a prize, the princess, at last married to a princess. The end. Ladies and gentlemen, these tricksters were very funny. They did all sorts of things to get their way. These are animal fables, of course. You know, these are not true stories. These are animal fables. And as we talked about Molly yesterday, Molly is more of a realistic story. Now, where we help a rabbit outsmarted the frog. Now the frog gets outsmarted. The famous Southern animal fable was told to the editors of the storytelling festival. These are many versions of the story in the folklore, but this particular one, is told by Jackie Torrance in The Best. And Torrance is one of my favorites. Back in the days when the animals could talk, there lived an old burr rabbit. He was a fine fisherman who could do no harm, who could go down to the river dropped his line in the water, and inside 10 minutes, he could have 25 fish resting right there on the bank beside him. But the rabbit, good friend, the raccoon, couldn't catch a fish if he even tried on a good day. All he did was sit. And he didn't like fish. He liked frogs instead. So the rabbit coon could go down to the river carrying a tote sack. He sneaked up behind a frog, grabbed him, and dropped him in the bag. When the sack was filled, he'd go home, open the door, and there his wife was, standing there waiting for him. "Oh, God," she said, "you brought home a great big passage of frogs. I'm so happy." One day the frog called a great big frog meeting because they were tired of some of these being caught by raccoon. They all agreed that they had to do something to keep the raccoons from catching them. They decided to put a lookout frog on a dirty stick on the bank. They needed some frogs with good eyes, good hearing, and good loud voices to warn them. They elected the bullfrog. The bullfrog would sit down on the bank and watch raccoon. When old raccoon could get within about a half a mile of the river, the bullfrog would call out like this: "Here they come! Here they come! Here they come!" The little frog along the river would peep along. When raccoon arrived at the riverbank, there wasn't a frog in sight, and he couldn't swim, so he couldn't go far after them. When he got home with that empty tote sack, there would be his wife waiting for him. "You don't have anything? You done come home with an empty tote sack, did you?" she would demand. "You need to get back out there and go find me some toads and get some frogs in this bag right now, this instant." "Well, I can't catch any frogs," he replied. Raccoon would answer, "There is all too wild to catch. Every time I get within a half a mile of the riverbank, every frog around would yell, 'Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes, there he go.' And I can't catch a single frog," he said to his wife. Well, that would make his wife mad, and she'd pick up the broom and chase him all around the house. "We is all going to starve to death," she said. "We're going to starve to death," she hollered. "Get back down there and catch them frogs," I said. "I need you to catch me some frogs." One morning, raccoon left the house with a bump on his head and an empty tote sack, and he was going down the road. He met Brer Rabbit coming up the road. Brer Rabbit had been fishing, and he had a sting of fish hanging down his back. "Well, howdy. How do you do, Brer Coon?" said Brer Rabbit. "How are you today?" "I ain't doing so good," said Brer Coon. "Well, you look right down in the mouth," said Brer Rabbit. "It ain't my mouth I'm down about," said raccoon. "See this bump on my head? My wife gave that to me with her broomstick." "Well, why would she do that?" "I don't know, because I guess I didn't catch any frogs, I guess." "Can't catch no frogs, huh?" asked Mr. Rabbit. "Why? There's 1,000 frogs down there at the river, but I can't catch them. I goes halfway to the river, and all I can hear is, 'Here he comes, here he comes, there he goes, here he comes.' By the time I get there, they're all in the water." "Well, sir," said Brer Rabbit, you need to make a plan." "I don't know nothing about planning. I don't know nothing about planning," said Brer Coon. "Don't you worry," said Brer Rabbit. "I'm the best planner that ever planned a plan. I just got to sit here in the road for a while and think of one for you." The rabbit sat back on his hind legs and put his ears up. First he scratched one ear, and then he scratched his leg, and then he stretched the other ear with his other leg. Then he would hop up and said, I've got you a plan. What is it? Asked Burr Coon. What is it? Well, sir, come on here. I don't want nobody to hear it. They moved over closer to each other, and Burr Rabbit looked all about and said, this is your plan. Go down to the river, and when you get there, call down and play dead like a burr possum. Then what I do, asked Burr Coon, you don't do nothing. Just lay there and don't move nothing. Don't move at all, I tell you. Don't move, said Burr Rabbit. That's a wonderful plan, said Burr Coon, walking toward the river. I don't understand it, but it is a wonderful plan. Just Burr Coon got about a half a mile from the river. He could hear the bullfrog starting up. Here he comes. Here he comes. There he go. Here he is. And the little frogs peeping all around. But Burr Coon went on down the river, and there he commenced to diet. Ooh, ooh, oh, he groaned. I'm dying of starvation. I can't hardly take it. I ain't had no frogs to eat for a day and a half. Ooh, I'm dead. I'm dying. And he fell on his face. And then he turned over on his back and stuck his feet straight up in the air as if he was truly dead and kicked out his legs. He kicked about 9 times. He lay there just like he was dead. Even when the sun came out, he commenced to sweat. He didn't move an inch. Then the flies came and landed on Burr Coon. They walked all over him, on his tummy, all around his face and out his nose, and their little fleas tickled and tickled, but he didn't know. The sun went down, and the flies went away, and even a breeze came along, and his tail came out too. Burr Rabbit stung up, and the riverbank, he came to the riverbank. He stopped at the sight of Burr Coon and looking to see if the frogs had popped their eyes up above the water and were watching him, he commenced to cry. Ooh, 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 he cried. My best friend, oh, Burr Coon, Burr Coon has fell dead. He is dying. He's gone, y'all. Frogs all came crawling out of the water to take a look at the dead coon. The bullfrogs called, that be good, that be good, that be real good, that be so good he dead. And the little frog peeped back out. Well, said Mr. Burr Rabbit, I guess I better get a dig in this grave. I promised his years ago that I would bury him if he passed on and buried him here in his favorite place right by the riverbank. And the bullfrog said, dig it, go ahead and dig it. Dig the grave for him. Go ahead and bury him. Go ahead on. And the little fox peeped out. Well, sir, said Burr Rabbit, since I am torn up with grief and all, I guess I'll let you dig it. But I better stay here and tell you how to dig it. So all the frogs went and got their frog shovel and got in a circle around Burr Coon, who was just lying there playing dead. They started to dig, and they dug, and they dug, and they dug. Old Burr Coon was going further and further down the grave, got deeper and deeper. Frogs were going down and down. When the grave was deep, the bullfrog jumped up old Burr Coon's chest and yelled out. Yelled out of the grave to Burr Rabbit. I lying deep enough? Is it deep enough? And the little frog peeped out and said, "Is it deep enough now?" "Well," said the rabbit, "you can jump out." The bullfrog looked up and said, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." "Well, it ain't deep enough." "Dig deeper," said the rabbit. And the frogs dug, and they dug, and they dug, and they dug. When that grave was 12 feet deep, and old Burr Rabbit and Burr Coon was just lying there, and the bullfrogs were still digging. "True, that deep enough is that deep enough." Burr Rabbit said, "Well, can you jump out of it?" The frog looked up, and the bullfrog said, "Believe me, we can." "Well, it ain't deep enough," said Burr Rabbit. "Dig deeper." And the frogs kept digging deeper. That grave was 15 feet deep, and the shovels were deeper, and they began to keep digging. Well, the Burr Rabbit called out, "Jump out." And the bullfrogs looked up and said, "No, we can't. We can't jump out. We can't jump out of here." Burr Rabbit yelled down to Burr Coon, "Get up there, Burr Coon. Pick up your groceries. The grave is too deep to jump out of." So Burr Coon jumped up and started grabbing frogs, throwing them into his old sack. Well, Burr Coon had so many frogs, he had enough to eat for this year and the next year to come. And that's the end of that. That's the end of that story, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed those tales for children. And ladies and gentlemen, you ought to understand one thing. We are trying to create an atmosphere here. Now, we've been talking about children in this classroom, and we've been talking about the difference between boys and girls, and should third world countries allow their girls to attend school. Now, we're going to be talking more about the subject of third world countries benefiting economically from allowing their girls to go to school, because the statistics have shown that when girls make money, they invest in the community, so they recirculate the money and jumpstart the economy. So there's many benefits in third world countries, girls going to school. And we're going to be researching that, finding out why there's so many of those girls have to be pushed into marriage before they're 12 years old, sometimes at the age of 15. We know that boys are different from girls. And here in America, we love our boys and raise our girls. But in third world countries, we force our girls to stay home and become mothers. And we push our boys out to educate them. So it's just the opposite. And we know that women make the world and the nation change. So it's very important that we help those economies to become better through understanding why conscious-based education and mindfulness is very important. Conscious-based education is a new education on the scene, which we're going to be talking about more and more and giving you a foundation for what teachers should be implementing in their classroom. And now we're looking at homeschooling. We're looking at new contractual teachers working in a homeschool setting, and we're looking at how we can be successful and how parents can be successful at having schools in their home. And we know that we can do this, and we know it's not hard with the help of parents because we're winners, and we will do this, and we will be successful. So remember Kwanzaa and light the candle of creativity in Kuumba this evening. Stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll see you. Take care.
Y'all ready?